For 25 years, from 1973 through 1997, an Italian priest named Father Stefano Gobbi said that he received locutions from the Blessed Mother. In these messages, she spoke of our times and reiterated the requests she made at Fatima. Although her messages are for everyone, in these messages, she particularly asks priests for greater holiness and to be more active in promoting consecration to her Immaculate Heart. Father Gobbi's spiritual director urged him to write down the messages that came to him. In due time, they were published with multiple imprimaturs as thousands of priests, bishops, and cardinals eagerly asked for translations in many languages. This recording is not professional and not for profit. Volunteer readers have undertaken to make these available as audio podcasts. You may purchase the book, To the Priests, Our Lady's Beloved Sons, at mmp-usa.net. Presented here are the messages from 1980, beginning January 1st to December 31st.
1980, Your Victorious Mother. January 1, 1980, Feast of Mary, Mother of God. Priests whom I am calling from every part of the world to enter into the refuge of my Immaculate Heart, sons so loved by me and so exposed to dangers, begin this new year with great trust in your Heavenly Mother. Today the Church invites you to contemplate me and to venerate me as Mother. I am truly the Mother of Jesus, and I am truly your Mother. I am Mother because I have given you my Son, Jesus. So it is that the Feast of Christmas becomes truly the feast of your whole life. Because I am the Mother of Jesus, I have been able to become your Mother also. And as I carried out well my motherly duty in regard to my divine Son, so too must I now carry it out well in regard to you, my sons. It is in the joyous mystery of my motherhood that the source of your trust and your hope at the beginning of this new year is to be found. You are now being called to enter a time in which great sufferings await you. First of all, my church will have to suffer, as it is called to a more intense and painful process of purification. I am close to it at every moment to help it and comfort it. The more the church must ascend Calvary, the more will it feel my help and my extraordinary presence. It must now enter into the precious moment of its redemptive passion, in preparation for its most beautiful rebirth. It is for this moment that, in my Immaculate Heart, a sure help has been provided for you. It is the Vicar of Jesus, the Pope, whom I have given you, that he might be loved, listened to, and followed by you. For him also, the hours of Gethsemane and of Calvary are now drawing near, and you, my beloved sons, must be his comfort and his defense. The world, too, is beginning to live through its most dramatic and painful hours. In this new year, many things that I foretold you at Fatima will come to pass. Do not fear, have confidence. At the most violent hour of the storm, you will see my great light grow brighter and more apparent. The woman clothed in the sun, with the moon at her feet and about her head a crown of 12 stars. This is the sign of my victory and yours. It is your victorious mother who today, with the Pope, the first of her beloved sons, gathers you all into her Immaculate Heart and blesses you. A great net of love. January 22, 1980. Walk in trust. The times foretold by me have come, and so you must leave to me all preoccupation. I am your heavenly mother, and I am at the side of each one of you. I am protecting and leading you. I am sheltering and defending you. Do not be worried about what is going to happen to you, because everything has already been arranged in my motherly heart. Humanity is now on the brink of that destruction, which it could bring upon itself by its own hand. Indeed, that which was predicted to you by me at Fatima, concerning the final closing of this age of yours, has already begun. How can I any longer hold back the hand of divine justice when the perversion which humanity has reached as it walks along the road of obstinate rebellion against God becomes greater day by day? How many nations could be involved and how many people killed, while many others would have to undergo unspeakable sufferings, famine, fire, and great destruction? This is what the scourge which is about to strike humanity will bring you. Beloved sons, heed, all of you, my urgent request, because my immaculate heart trembles. It is in anguish at the fate which awaits you. Pray more and more. Pray together with me through the recitation of the Holy Rosary. Pray and do penance that the times be shortened, and that the greatest possible number of my children may be eternally saved. Pray that suffering may serve to convert all those who have strayed far from God. Pray that you may never doubt the love of the Father, who always watches over you and provides for you and makes use of suffering as a means of healing you from the sickness of corruption, of infidelity, of rebellion, of impurity, of atheism. I now ask you for more prayer. Multiply your cenacles of prayer. Multiply your rosaries recited well and in union with me. Offer me also your suffering and your penance. I ask you for prayer and penance for the conversion of sinners, that even my most rebellious and most distant children may return to God, who awaits them with the merciful eagerness of a father. And then together we will form a great net of love that will envelop and save the whole world. Thus, my motherly and supreme intervention can be extended everywhere for the salvation of all who have gone astray. Offered to the glory of God, February 2, 1980. Feast of the Presentation of the Child Jesus in the Temple. First Saturday of the month. Beloved sons, let your Heavenly Mother present all of you today to the Lord upon her immaculate heart. The more complete the offering of yourselves which you make to me through your consecration, the better can I fulfill my motherly task, which is that of offering you to the perfect glorification of the most blessed Trinity. In the Temple of Jerusalem, I first offered my child Jesus, according to the prescriptions of the Mosaic law, and now I must also offer each of you, my little children, according to the will of my Son Jesus, who, before dying on the cross, entrusted you to me. Beneath the cross and by the will of Jesus, I became the true mother of each one of you. And in what does my duty as mother consist, if not in offering you to the perfect glory of God? I offer you to the glory of the Father. As in your heavenly mother, he wishes to see shine forth in you with increasing brilliance the great design he has imprinted on the masterpiece of his creation. Thus is he able to receive today from you, his little children, his perfect praise. I offer you to the glory of the Son. He wants to see realized in you, his brothers, his own likeness in such a manner that he can live once again through you and love, pray, suffer, and work in order that the Father may be even glorified in you. and thus the Son lives again perfectly through you. I offer you to the glory of the Holy Spirit. He communicates himself to you to bring you into the very heart of the divine life and to transform you into burning flames of love and zeal in order to shed his most pure light everywhere. And seeing you in the motherly arms of his spouse, who is reproducing her image in you, he is drawn to come down in fullness upon you and to communicate himself to you just as he communicated himself to her. Thus, the Holy Spirit is being given to you increasingly as a gift by the Father and the Son. In the temple of my Immaculate Heart, I offer you all today to the glory of the Most Holy Trinity. I offer you as a sign of reparation, as a sign of motherly supplication, and as a sign of perfect glorification, that God may receive this poor, straying humanity, and through the great power of his merciful love, come to the aid of the world, purified by your reparative offering. Thus, by the Spirit of the Lord, the whole face of the earth will be renewed. Under my Immaculate Mantle, February 11, 1980, Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. I look upon you, beloved sons, with my eyes of mercy. This is the gaze of your Heavenly Mother, which follows each one of you in every part of the world. My motherly gaze falls upon you today with special pleasure and draws you gently to enter each and all under the protection of my Immaculate Mantle. I want to bring you together in love, which must grow constantly greater among yourselves, to the point of making you truly one. Thus, I can give you to my Son Jesus to accomplish according to his most intimate desire that which he left you as his testament. As I and you, O Father, are one, so also may they be one in us. And where can this unity be built up each day if not in the Immaculate Heart of your Mother, who loves you all and who is leading, gathering, and uniting you? I want to heal you of sin and of the consequences which it leaves in you, that sense of weakness and instability which so often casts you down and discourages you. You feel so frail and insecure, so uncertain and fearful of again becoming victims of the evil that surrounds you. You will not fall back into sin if you live ever under the Immaculate Mantle of your Heavenly Mother. Here I heal your injuries, I pour balm on your painful wounds, I give you food that nourishes you, and I clothe you in my most beautiful garments. With maternal firmness, I mold you and lead you to sanctity. Through you, I call all my children this day to take refuge under my mantle, especially those who have wandered far from Jesus and from me, who have allowed themselves to be carried away by the present storm and now find themselves in great danger. They have, for that reason, greater need of my motherly help. And so let no one despair, let no one feel abandoned by me. The hour has come when the love of your Immaculate Mother will shine forth resplendently for all. With Jesus in the Desert, March 1, 1980, first Saturday of the month of Lent. Beloved sons, in this period of more intense prayer and penance, you too should go with Jesus into the desert, offer yourselves with him for the perfect carrying out of the Father's plan. Prepare yourselves for the important mission which awaits you, because my time has come and I must count with certainty on each one of you. My plan does not correspond with yours, and my ways are not yours. You will be able to understand my plan and walk in my ways only if you have a pure heart. Blessed are the pure of heart, because they will be able to see. In the desert, your hearts will be made even purer by me, that in the light of wisdom you may see the plan of the Father, and, as did Jesus, you too may dispose yourselves to carry it out, drinking to the last drop of the chalice which has already been prepared for you. For this, your hearts will have to be still more purified by me. The desert is the place where I bring you for this, my motherly work of purification. In the desert, Jesus suffered hunger and thirst, the cold of night and the great heat of day. In the desert where I am leading you, you will feel great hunger and thirst solely for the Word of God, while you will experience something like a nausea for all other words. I will have you experience both the painful cold because of sin, which has descended upon the world to make it cold and barren, as well as the burning heat of the Spirit of God, who will diffuse everywhere the flame of His love, so that all things may be renewed and all may thus flourish once again. In the desert, Jesus lived alone, and with Him I will bring you to interior solitude, detaching you from your own selves, from creatures, from the world in which you live, and from your occupations, so that you may listen to the voice of the great silence. It is only in the cradle of this great silence that your heart can be formed in the pure and perfect love of God and neighbor. In the desert, Jesus prayed to the Father without cease, and so with Jesus I am leading you to prayer, which must become unceasing and continuous. Pray always, with your life, with your heart, with your work, with your pain, with your weariness, with your wounds. Oh, dear sons, it is only in the desert that your heavenly mother can train you to have a taste for prayer, that in this way you may perceive always at your side the Father who loves you, leads you, and protects you. In the desert, Jesus was tempted. In this desert into which I am leading you, you too will be tested by the fire of innumerable temptations and afflictions, and your faithfulness and confidence will be put to a great test. My adversary has been given a period of time in which to tempt you. Thus he will set snares for you in all sorts of ways, with pride, with lust, with doubts, with discouragement, with curiosity. You will be sifted like wheat, and many will be allured by his dangerous deceits. Follow Jesus in ever rejecting his seductions. Above all, be on the watch, because today there are many false Christs and false prophets who are seducing many souls and bringing them to perdition. Do not be discouraged, my dear sons. I am at your side to point out to you the snares of my adversary and to help you to overcome his seductions. Thus I am strengthening you with the Word of God, which was the light that, during her life, guided your heavenly mother. In the desert, as was Jesus, you too will be prepared for the mission which you must carry out. For this, your hearts must become purer. You must feel hunger and thirst for the Word of God. You must pray and suffer in order to say, with your brother Jesus, upon my Immaculate Heart, Father, your will alone be done. You have taken delight in neither holocausts nor sacrifices, but you have prepared a body for me. O God, I come today to do your will. My Yes and Yours, March 25, 1980, Feast of the Annunciation of Our Lord. Beloved sons, contemplate your Heavenly Mother today, at the moment when she said her yes to the will of the Lord. This, yes, blossomed in my soul as the fruit of much silence, an interior silence in which I habitually lived, disposing me to seek only the Word of God. In the most profound silence, the Word communicated Himself to my soul, while my mind opened to receive Him and my heart closed itself in its jealous custody of Him. An exterior silence which withdrew me from clamor, from distractions, and from the events that were taking place about me, in order to recollect myself for the perfect acceptance of the will of God, which I sought to fulfill in my humble and ordinary manner of living. Thus, silence hid the great plan of the Father, and when this was made known to me, yet still in silence I had to guard it jealously within my heart. My motherly assent was therefore invisible and secret, since the Father alone awaited it and received it. My yes blossomed from my heart, also as the fruit of much prayer. Now my life was completely an encounter of love with the Father, who in secret revealed to me evermore and more the mysterious plan of the Word, who was to become flesh in my virginal womb. I understood the true meaning of sacred scripture, and everything became clearer to me concerning that to which I was being called. It was my duty to prepare myself to give my flesh and my blood to the Word of the Father, who was to make Himself incarnate in my womb in order to offer Himself on the cross as a sign of salvation for all. And so my yes was also a complete assent to suffer, because at that moment I welcomed into my virginal womb all the suffering of the Son. With my soul I saw, even before He was born, the wounds in His hands and His little feet, and the horrible gash in the heart, even before I felt its beating. I saw Him stretched on the cross, even before contemplating Him, newborn in a crib. Beloved sons, contemplate your heavenly mother today, at the moment when she spoke her yes to the will of the Father. You also are called to repeat it now, that the designs of the Father for you may be fulfilled. I welcome into my immaculate heart your yes, which each of you pronounces today. This yes must come to blossom in you as the fruit of much silence. Keep in your heart the Word of the Father. Guard in the secret of your soul the plan which the Mother is revealing to you. Withdraw yourselves from the noisy clamor of the world. Shield yourselves from that surge of words and images, which sweeps everything before it and contaminates it. At the present time, almost no one knows how to keep this interior silence. It is in this way that my adversary succeeds in leading you astray and in profaning hearts and souls. Say your yes, that the will of the Father may be accomplished. In this way, you are called to penetrate ever more deeply into His own secrets. You do this by your prayer, which brings you to communicate with God, and thus you are able to become today the very voice of God, His Word lived out. At the present time, Jesus asks only this of His priests. While He is being betrayed by many of them who misuse His very own divine words, pronounce with me your yes to the cross, dearest sons of mine, because for you also the hours of the Passion and of Calvary have come. As in my virginal womb I received the Word of the Father, so also I enclose each one of you today in my immaculate heart, while I already contemplate you at the moment of your offering of reparation. Your yes, my little children, within the yes, which your heavenly mother continually repeats with joy to her God. Then, in you also, the will of the Father can be fulfilled, and my immaculate heart will become the altar upon which you will be immolated for the salvation of the world. In his greatest abandonment, April 4, 1980, Good Friday, beloved sons, remain today with me beneath the cross. I am at the side of Jesus, who is dying to envelop all his immense suffering with my mother's love, and I become totally associated with him in the drinking of the bitter chalice of his great abandonment. Not here beneath the cross are those friends and disciples. Not here are all those who were helped by Jesus in so many ways. His divine gaze is dimmed because of this interior and so very human bitterness. And my mother's gaze opens out and ranges about, searching among those present for someone to offer to him to appease his painful thirst for love. I sought consolers, but I found none. Not here beneath the cross is that crowd who sang hosannas, or the people who received him rejoicing, or the multitudes fed by him with his bread. There is here a group of poor children blinded by hate and driven to inhuman ferocity by their religious leaders. To make the ingratitude yet more bitter for him and his abandonment more complete. Thus, for his pain there is scorn, for his faults contempt, for his wounds insults, for his immolated body outrage, for the moans of his agony blasphemous, for the supreme offering of his life contempt and rejection. The heart of my son is rent by this great abandonment, even before this is done by the lance of the Roman soldier. The heart of the mother is wounded by a sorrow so great that it cannot be assuaged by the presence of a few faithful persons. Not here beneath the cross are his 12 apostles. One has betrayed him and already taken his own life. Another has denied him and is weeping far away. The others have scattered and are filled with great fear. But one at least has stayed with me, little John. I hear his innocent heart beating. I see his fear, the fear of a bewildered little child, his sorrow, the sorrow of a sincere friend, and I press him to my heart to support him in the help which he is called to give. From the cross, the gaze of Jesus, who is about to die at the moment of his supreme abandonment, is fixed intently upon the two of us and is illuminated by an infinite love. Woman, behold your son. And beneath the cross where my son has just died, I press to my immaculate heart my new child who has just been born in such great pain. Thus all is accomplished. Here, beneath the cross where I begot you, I want you today, beloved sons of mine. At the moment when the church is being called to live out the hours of her passion and her great abandonment, you are the sons I give her, that she may be consoled and helped by me. And so, with John, stay all of you beneath the cross of Jesus, close to your sorrowful mother, that the Father's plan may be fulfilled. Have confidence. Rome, April 24, 1980, Easter Session. Do not let your heart be troubled. Have confidence in Jesus, risen and ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he has already prepared a place for each one of you. Beloved sons, have confidence also in your heavenly mother. My plan is enclosed within the heart of the Blessed Trinity. I am the Virgin of Revelation. In me, the masterpiece of the Father is realized in such a perfect manner that he can shed on me the light of his predilection. The Word assumes his human nature in my virginal womb and thus can come to you by means of my true function as mother. The Holy Spirit draws me like a magnet into the depths of the life of love between the Father and the Son, and I become interiorly transformed and so assimilated to him as to be his spouse. Through me, the great plan hidden in the very mystery of God is made manifest. My Son Jesus is the manifestation of this mystery. In him alone dwells the fullness of the divinity. Through him, all humanity is led back to full communion with the divine nature itself. Only with him can the great plan of the Father be accomplished. Have confidence, beloved sons. In these present times, so dense with darkness and threats, look to your heavenly mother. I will reveal to your souls the secret of the Word, become flesh in my maternal womb. I will bring you to the full understanding of sacred scripture. Above all, I will read to you the pages of its last book, which you are living. In it, everything is already predicted, even that which must still come to pass. The battle to which I am calling you is clearly described, and my great victory is foretold. For this reason, I repeat, do not fear, have confidence. In my immaculate heart, you will experience the joy and the peace that even today my risen Son gives to all of you. The same dimensions as the world. Salzburg, Austria, May 8, 1980. Supplica to the Blessed Virgin of Pompeii. You see here also the marvels of my Immaculate Heart. What a generous response I am receiving from my beloved children, especially from so many of the faithful who listen to me, love me, and allow themselves to be led docilely by me. Have you seen how so many have come together from every part of this nation to take part in cenacles of prayer and to renew their consecration to my Immaculate Heart? By means of them, my heart grows ever larger to receive in ever increasing numbers my more needy children so exposed to dangers. From every part of the world, they are hastening to enter into this refuge, which has been prepared by your mother. Here they become illumined by my light, strengthened by my action, comforted by my motherly love, and prepared according to my plan. And now my Immaculate Heart has the same dimensions as the world. It embraces all poor humanity, redeemed by my Son Jesus, and now so menaced by my adversary, who has succeeded in extending his domain in it. And so I am offering you as a sign of salvation the love of my Immaculate Heart, which has expanded to tremendous proportions to receive all my poor children in need of my maternal intervention. My heart is stretched out like a great tent of peace and salvation to gather you in front the stormy waves which would submerge the world. 200. The Times of Battle, Cologne, Germany, May 13, 1980, 63rd anniversary of the first apparition of Fatima. This is my great battle. What you are seeing and what you are living through forms part of my plan, hidden in the secret of my Immaculate Heart. The Most Holy Trinity has entrusted to me the task of leading its army in the terrible struggle against Satan, who, as ever, is the most astute and ruthless enemy of God. God has entrusted the carrying out of his victorious plan to me, the littlest slave of the Lord, because the spirit of pride and rebellion may still be conquered by the humility and obedience of your heavenly mother. My adversary has dared to attack the most holy Trinity, obscuring its great work of love and of glory. He has obscured the work of the Father by seducing other creatures to rebellion against God by means of the spread of atheism to a degree that mankind has never before known. To render fruitless the redemptive work of the Son, he has attempted to bedim his church with error, which has entered into her interior, and with infidelity, which has spread like a terrible cancer. He keeps aflame the confrontation with the Pope, whom Jesus set in the church as the center of unity and as the guardian of truth. He has obscured the work of the Holy Spirit, succeeding in extinguishing the light of divine life in many souls through sin. It is readily committed and even justified by many, and by some it is no longer even confessed. But the woman clothed in the sun, who has begun her great battle, continues to wage it each day through you, my faithful little cohort. By means of you, I want to restore to its splendor the work of creation, of redemption, and of sanctification, in such a way that the Most Holy Trinity will receive the greatest degree of glory. Do not become disturbed by the darkness which has spread about, because this is part of the plan of my adversary. It is, on the other hand, part of my own victorious plan, namely, that of dispelling the darkness so that the light may everywhere return. And the light will shine resplendently throughout creation when it will once again sing the love and glory of God following on the defeat of every form of atheism and of proud rebellion. The light of truth, of fidelity, and of unity will once again shine fully in the church. My Son Jesus will manifest himself fully in such a way that the church will become light for all the nations of the earth. I will make the light of grace shine in souls. The Holy Spirit will communicate himself to them in superabundance in order to lead them to the perfection of love.
Message 201. A Torrent of Water. June the 14th, 1980, Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Beloved sons, today is your feast because it is the feast of the Immaculate Heart of your Heavenly Mother, to whom you have consecrated yourselves. Spend it in recollection, in prayer, in silence, in trust. I have now imprinted my sign on the forehead of each one of you. My adversary is no longer able to do anything against those who have been signed by their Heavenly Mother. The Star of the Abyss will persecute my sons, and therefore they will be called to ever greater sufferings. Many will have to offer even their own life. It is within their sacrifice of love and of pain that I will be able to achieve my greatest victory. I am the woman clothed in the sun. I am in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity. Until I am acknowledged, there is there where the Most Holy Trinity has willed me to be, I will not be able to exercise my power fully in the maternal work of co-redemption and of the universal mediation of graces. For this reason, as the battle between me and my adversary entered in its decisive phase, he tried by every means to obscure the mission of your Heavenly Mother. In order to succeed in dominating the earth, the red dragon has set out first of all to persecute the woman clothed in the sun, and the serpent has spewed out a torrent of water from his mouth at the virgin in order to submerge her and sweep her away. What is this flood of water if not the ensemble of those new theological theories by which an attempt is being made to bring your heavenly mother down from that place where the Most Holy Trinity has put her? Thus it has been possible to obscure me in the souls, in the life, and in the piety of many of my children, even to the point of denying some of those privileges with which I have been adorned by my Lord. I take flight from this great torrent of water. The wings of a great eagle are given to the woman, and thus she was able to find a place for herself in the desert. What is this desert, if not a place which is hidden, without noise, set apart, and arid? This place hidden and silent, and made arid by so many struggles, this place hidden and silent, and made arid by so many struggles and so many wounds in which the woman now finds a place for herself, is the soul and the heart of my beloved sons, and of all who have consecrated themselves to my Immaculate Heart. I am accomplishing the greatest prodigies in the desert in which I find myself. I carry them out in silence and hiddenness to transform the souls and the lives of those sons of mine who have entrusted themselves completely to me. Thus, each day, I make their desert blossom within my garden, where I can still carry out my work fully and where the Most Holy Trinity can receive perfect glory. Sons, let yourselves be transformed by my powerful action as mother, mediatrix of graces and co-redemptrix. Do not fear, because in the desert of your heart I have taken refuge and have set up my permanent dwelling place. Live in joy and confidence, because you have been marked with a seal by me and have come to form part of my property. Today I gather my little hearts into the immense, immaculate, and sorrowful heart of your heavenly mother, who watches over you with delight and blesses you together with the Pope, the first of my beloved sons, who sheds such great light upon all the church. Message 202. The desert where I withdrew. Fatima, June 29, 1980. Feast of St. Peter and Paul. Today I have wanted you here in Fatima to conclude the cenacle which during this year I have been able to hold throughout Europe. My sons, I have accepted the generous response which you have made to me everywhere. This is my hour. This is also the hour of your battle, because the victorious action of the heavenly leader, the woman clothed with the sun, will become more and more manifest. But for half a time yet, I must remain within the desert. Here I work the greatest prodigies, in silence and hiddenness. You are the desert where I withdrew. You, sons, consecrated to my Immaculate Heart, that desert is your heart, made arid by so many wounds, in a world flooded with rebellion against God and His law, marked with hatred and violence, which spreads menacingly. Your parched hearts, your thirsting souls, sons, this is the place where the Heavenly Mother now sets up her refuge. Because of my presence, this desert is transformed into a garden, cultivated by me with special care. Every day I water the aridity of your hearts with the tenderness of my immaculate love, the aridity of your souls with the grace with which I am filled, because as a mother I must distribute it to all my children. Then I bind up your wounds with heavenly balm. I clean you by helping you set yourselves ever freer of sin, of your numerous defects, and of inordinate attachments. In this way I prepare and make fertile the soil of my garden. Then I sow in you the seeds of love for my Son Jesus, that it may spring up and blossom in ever more perfect and luminous way. And in his spirit of love I cause you to open to the Son of the Father good pleasure, so that thus the Most Holy Trinity must shine resplendently and be reflected in the heavenly dwelling place built in my Immaculate Heart. And thus you grow, cultivated by me as little flowers which open only to sing the glory of God and to spread everywhere the splendor of his love. I give you also the colors and the fragrance of my virtues: prayer, humility, purity, silence, trust, littleness, obedience, and perfect abandonment. Grow and develop, while each day I transform your desert into the most beautiful garden guarded jealously by me. Message 203. The Work of Co-Redemption, July 13, 1980. Anniversary of the Third Apparition of Fatima. Assent to my plan, beloved sons, and allow yourselves to be formed by your mother. Thus I am able more and more to associate you with my maternal work of co-redemption. Jesus is the only Redeemer, because he alone is the mediator between God and men. He has, however, willed to make into partnership in his redemptive work all those who have been redeemed by him, so that the merciful work of his love may shine forth in a greater and more wonderful way. Thus you who have been redeemed can cooperate with him in his redemptive work. He in you, who are so intimately united with him so as to form his very mystical body, can gather in your day the fruit of what he accomplished once for all on Calvary. I am for you the perfect model of your cooperation in the redemptive work accomplished by my Son. In fact, as Mother of Jesus, I have become intimately associated with him in his work of redemption. My presence beneath the cross tells you how my Son has willed to unite his mother completely to all his great sufferings at the time of his passion and his death for you. If the cross was his scaffold, the pain of my Immaculate Heart was like the altar on which my Son offered to the Father the sacrifice of the new and eternal covenant. As Mother of the Church, I was also intimately associated with Jesus in the accomplishment of his redemptive work, which is carried out in the course of history by offering to all men the possibility of accepting that salvation which he obtained for you at the time of his bloody immolation. Thus, the more numerous they are who attain salvation, the more fully is the masterpiece of his divine love realized. My task as a mother is that of helping my children in every way to attain salvation, and today still it is that of cooperating in a very special way in the redemption accomplished by my Son Jesus. My role as true mother and co-redemptrix will become manifest to all. I want to carry out this action today through you, my beloved sons. This is why I have wanted to withdraw myself into the desert of your life, where I have set up my safe refuge. In this way I mold you as a mother, so that through you I may carry out the great work of co-redemption. And so I call you to prayer, to the perfect offering of yourselves, to suffering, to self-immolation. I lead you along the way of the cross, and gently I help you to climb Calvary in order to transform you all into sacrificial victims, pleasing to the Father for the salvation of the world. This is the time of my silent action. In the desert of your life, I daily work the great prodigy of transforming you more and more, that Jesus Christ may again live in each one of you. When this work of mine is completed, the greatness of the loving plan which I am now carrying out will become apparent to the whole church. My merciful work of co-redemption has now become more necessary and urgent than ever. The task which the Most Holy Trinity has entrusted to me will be acknowledged by all. I will be able to exercise my great power fully, so that the victory of my Son Jesus may shine forth everywhere, when he will restore through you his glorious reign of love.
Message number 204, Mediatrix of Graces, July 16, 1980, Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Beloved children, I am the Mediatrix of Graces. Grace is the very life of God which is communicated to you. It springs from the bosom of the Father and is merited for you by the Word who in my virginal womb became man to share with you that same divine life. And for this he offered himself as a ransom for you, becoming thus the one and only mediator between God and all humanity. From the bosom of the Father, grace, in order to reach you, must therefore pass through the divine heart of the Son, who communicates it to you in his spirit of love. Just as a ray of light which passes through a window assumes its shape, color, and design, so too divine grace merited by Jesus can come to you only through him, and it is for this reason that it reproduces in you his own image, the very same image which shapes you ever more and more to his own person. Divine life can reach you only in the form of Jesus, and the more this increases in you, the more you are assimilated to him in such a way that you can really grow as his little brothers. By means of grace, the Father communicates himself to you ever more and more. The Son assimilates you, the Holy Spirit transforms you, bringing about a relationship of life with the Most Holy Trinity, which becomes ever increasingly strong and active. Within souls who are in grace, it is the Most Holy Trinity itself which takes up its dwelling place there. This life of grace has also a relationship with your Heavenly Mother. As I am truly the Mother of Jesus and your Mother, my mediation is exercised between you and my Son Jesus. This is the natural consequence of my divine motherhood. As the Mother of Jesus, I am the means chosen by God by which my Son can reach you. In my virginal womb, this first act of mediation of mine is carried out. As your mother, I was the means chosen by Jesus that through me all of you may reach him. I am truly the mediatrix of grace between you and my Son Jesus. My task is that of distributing to my little children that grace which flows out from the bosom of the Father, is merited for you by the Son, and is given to you by the Holy Spirit. My task is that of distributing it to all my children, according to the particular needs of each one, which the mother is very good at knowing. I am ever carrying out this duty of mine. However, I can carry it out fully only in the case of those children who entrust themselves to me with perfect abandonment. I am, above all, able to carry it out in respect to you, my favorite sons, who by your consecration have entrusted yourselves completely to me. I am the way which leads you to Jesus. I am the safest and shortest way, the necessary way for each one of you. If you refuse to go along this way, you run the danger of being lost in the course of your journey. Today many have wished to put me aside, considering me an obstacle in reaching Jesus, because they have not understood my function as mediatrix between you and my Son. And so never before, as in these present times, are so many of my children running the risk of not being able to reach him. The Jesus whom they meet is often only the result of their human research and corresponds to their aspirations and desires. He is a Jesus formed according to their measure. He is not Jesus, the Christ, the true Son of God, and of your Immaculate Mother. Entrust yourselves to me with confidence, and you will remain faithful, because I will be able to carry out fully my work as mediatrix of graces. I will take you each day along the way of my Son, in such a way that he may increase in you to his fullness. This is my great work, which I am still carrying out in silence and in the desert. Under my powerful action as mediatrix of graces, you are ever more transformed into Christ, that you may become fit for the task which awaits you. Forward, then, with courage, along the way, traced out by your Heavenly Mother. Message number 204, Mediatrix of Graces, July 16, 1980, Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Beloved children, I am the Mediatrix of Graces. Grace is the very life of God which is communicated to you. It springs from the bosom of the Father, and is merited for you by the Word, who in my virginal womb became man to share with you that same divine life. And for this he offered himself as a ransom for you, becoming thus the one and only mediator between God and all humanity. From the bosom of the Father, grace, in order to reach you, must therefore pass through the divine heart of the Son, who communicates it to you in his Spirit of love. Just as a ray of light which passes through a window assumes its shape, color, and design, so too divine grace merited by Jesus can come to you only through him, and it is for this reason that it reproduces in you his own image, the very same image which shapes you ever more and more to his own person. Divine life can reach you only in the form of Jesus. And the more this increases in you, the more you are assimilated to him in such a way that you can really grow as his little brothers. By means of grace, the Father communicates himself to you ever more and more. The Son assimilates you. The Holy Spirit transforms you, bringing about a relationship of life with the Most Holy Trinity, which becomes ever increasingly strong and active. Within souls who are in grace, it is the Most Holy Trinity itself which takes up its dwelling place there. This life of grace has also a relationship with your Heavenly Mother. As I am truly the Mother of Jesus and your Mother, my mediation is exercised between you and my Son Jesus. This is the natural consequence of my divine motherhood. As the Mother of Jesus, I am the means chosen by God by which my Son can reach you. In my virginal womb, this first act of mediation of mine is carried out. As your Mother, I was the means chosen by Jesus that through me all of you may reach him. I am truly the mediatrix of grace between you and my Son Jesus. My task is that of distributing to my little children that grace which flows out from the bosom of the Father, is merited for you by the Son, and is given to you by the Holy Spirit. My task is that of distributing it to all my children, according to the particular needs of each one, which the Mother is very good at knowing. I am ever carrying out this duty of mine. However, I can carry it out fully only in the case of those children who entrust themselves to me with perfect abandonment. I am, above all, able to carry it out in respect to you, my favorite sons, who by your consecration have entrusted yourselves completely to me. I am the way which leads you to Jesus. I am the safest and shortest way, the necessary way for each one of you. If you refuse to go along this way, you run the danger of being lost in the course of your journey. Today, many have wished to put me aside, considering me an obstacle in reaching Jesus, because they have not understood my function as mediatrix between you and my Son. And so never before, as in these present times, are so many of my children running the risk of not being able to reach Him. The Jesus whom they meet is often only the result of their human research and corresponds to their aspirations and desires. He is a Jesus formed according to their measure. He is not Jesus, the Christ, the true Son of God, and of your Immaculate Mother. Entrust yourselves to me with confidence, and you will remain faithful, because I will be able to carry out fully my work as mediatrix of graces. I will take you each day along the way of my Son, in such a way that He may increase in you to His fullness. This is my great work, which I am still carrying out in silence and in the desert. Under my powerful action as mediatrix of graces, you are ever more transformed into Christ, that you may become fit for the task which awaits you. Forward then, with courage, along the way traced out by your heavenly mother. Message number 205, The Powerful Weapon, August 8, 1980. You are here in the place which I have prepared for you for your rest. You have spent these past days in the unity of prayer and life with X, whom I have given you as your little brother, upon whom I have great designs for this work of mine. My beloved sons, how great is the love and the sorrow of my Immaculate Heart. I look upon you with great tenderness. My light penetrates your life, your soul, your heart, your existence. How many difficulties you must overcome. How many sufferings await you each day. Pain has become for you your daily food, and thus often you are brought to discouragement and distress. Live in the immaculate love of my heart. Be little, poor, and humble. Accept as a gift your fragility. Never seek either to affirm yourself or to stand out above the others. The way along which I am leading you is that of hiddenness and of humiliation. Don't be curious to know what is awaiting you, but at each moment live in perfect love. Then you will be able to give yourself ever more for souls, because as you begin to do each thing, there will be a corresponding help of the Lord proportioned to your work. Go forward with courage, without ever stopping, carrying your cross as your brother Jesus did on his journey to Calvary, along a way which seemed impossible and out of proportion to the little strength that remained to him. Your mission is sublime, and you must not let it come to a stop through weakness or human discouragement. My time has come, and soon I will leave the desert in which I find myself for the decisive phase of this battle of mine. I therefore have need of you and of the powerful weapon of your love, pure priestly love. Open your heart to the dimensions of my Immaculate Heart, and then we will trace out a great path of light, along which my poor wandering children will be able to be led back and to be saved. Message number 206, My Glorified Body, August 15, 1980, Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into Heaven. I am your mother assumed into heaven. Today I gaze on you all with these merciful eyes, and I enclose you in my Immaculate Heart, which never ceases to beat with love for you. I am the woman clothed with the sun. My glorified body is a sign for you of my complete victory. The eternal Sun of grace and love now illumines, penetrates and surrounds my glorified body, intimately associated in glory with that of my Son Jesus. From my heart flows the fountain of my light, with which I wish to envelop and illumine this world filled with darkness. Hasten along to the wake of my immaculate light. Let yourselves be drawn by the exquisite fragrance of my glorified body. Beloved sons, in order to succeed in drawing you away from me, my adversary now rages against you with great fury. He succeeds in sweeping down from the sky a third of the stars, and you too are these stars in the firmament of the church. But how much greater is the number of those whose splendor becomes bedimmed? Thus he ensnares you in every way. He fights you often through those souls who are closest to you and most loved by you, in order to bring you to discouragement, so as to extinguish in you the zeal and the fervor of your apostolic action. Step out with perfect trust in your heavenly Mother. Seek the answer for your thirst for love solely in my Immaculate Heart. Here you will not experience any disappointment. Here you will be led to the charism of love. Here all your wounds will be bound up and healed, and you will receive new strength and new enthusiasm to spend yourself for souls. My Immaculate Heart has a great design upon you, a design which is being realized at this very time. Look to paradise into which your mother has been assumed, and live on earth letting yourself be guided and led by her. Thus you will shed my light, and you will contribute ever more and more to the triumph of my maternal love in the souls and the lives of so many of my children infected with evil and hatred. The desert of your life will blossom in my garden, and you will spread about you the fragrance of all those virtues which here below adorn the soul and the body, now glorified, of your Immaculate Mother. Message number 207. The Rock of the Great Division, New York City, New York, USA, September 2, 1980. I have wanted you here today in this great city of this great continent to begin cynicals, which you will be able to hold in many other states of this immense nation. Beloved sons, this is your hour. I am calling you all to fight along with me the final phase of the battle. Your mother is on the eve of her greatest victory. In you I have chosen the smallest and poorest child, and I am taking you to every part of the world to gather all into my Immaculate Heart. By means of you, I now receive from all sides the homage of your lives consecrated to me, and I fill your hearts with pure love for Jesus, so that you may thus save a great number of souls. I accept your suffering, and I heal your many wounds. I love you with a motherly and merciful heart. I have special love for you because of your extreme littleness and fragility. I am leading you because it is your duty to carry out the most important task at the moment of the decisive struggle. Look at the great light which my Immaculate Heart has given to the Church. It is the first of my beloved sons, Pope John Paul II. From this time on, this light will become much stronger as the struggle becomes more bitter. This Pope is a sign of my extraordinary presence at your side. He is becoming the stumbling stone for all my enemies and the rock against which the great division will take place. He has been even here and has spoken with firmness. But how few they are who follow his trustworthy and inspired teaching. Even some of my beloved sons continue to ignore him, and thus slip into a greater darkness, and the church in this country becomes so ill and wounded. May you, sons consecrated to my Immaculate Heart, be living examples of love for, of love to, and of full unity with the Pope. Thus you will draw a great number of poor, confused children along the road of unity and of salvation in the true faith. Within a short time, the apostasy will become manifest. Only those who will be with the Pope will be saved from the threat of shipwreck in their faith. With him I bless you all, and I encourage you to walk in trust and in filial abandonment. Message number 208. He will come to you as fire. Florida, USA, September 8, 1980. Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today, my beloved sons, you are gathering here in great numbers. You come from the most distant states of this nation to spend 2 days of cenacle with me. This is the time to gather together with me in prayer and in love, which must increase in your midst, so as to make you completely one. Through your persevering with me in prayer, I will be able to prepare you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who wants to communicate himself to you in an ever fuller way. This is his hour because through his powerful, loving action, the whole world will be purified and renewed. He will come to you as an ardent and burning fire. He will come as witness of my Son, who has never been so despised and betrayed in his person and in his words. He will come to lead back the world to the perfect glorification of the Father. Prepare yourselves to receive this great gift, which my Immaculate Heart has obtained for you. I am your infant mother. Look upon me in order to become littler. Your littleness is my great strength. Gather together today about my cradle, and offer yourselves to me as little flowers, having the fragrance of love and of trust. And let us second together the will of the Father, so that what he has ordained for the salvation of the world may soon be fulfilled. Message number 209, The Sufferings of the Church. Chicago, Illinois, USA. September 15, 1980. Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. I am your sorrowful mother. The sword which pierced my heart beneath the cross continues to wound me through the great suffering which the Church, the mystical body of my Son Jesus, is living through at the present time. All the sufferings of the Church are in my immaculate and sorrowful heart. It is in this way that I still carry out today my maternal duty, begetting in pain this daughter of mine to a new life. For this reason, the function of the mother becomes ever more important at the present time of its painful purification. All the sufferings of the Pope, the bishops, the priests, of consecrated souls, and of the faithful are enclosed in my motherly heart. I too share with you in living out these hours of great pain, and the passion of my Son continues in his mystical body. Today with him, for the Church, I relive the very hours of Gethsemane, of Calvary, of the crucifixion, and of his death. Have trust and patience. Have courage and hope. Soon from our pain will rise a new era of light. The Church will again flourish under the powerful influx of the love of God. Message number 210, A Great Design on This People. Philippines, October 2nd, 1980, Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels. Look at this immense archipelago and see how my work has also spread here in an extraordinary way. You behold my marvels in every part of the world. I have also revealed to you the times and the places where the triumph of my Immaculate Heart is being realized. Look at the hearts and the souls of all these children of mine. They are so faithful to Jesus, so devoted to me, and so united to the Church. Through them, the light of my heart is spreading through all the countries of this continent. I have a great design on this people. They please me with their simplicity, their devotion, their great poverty, their humility and patience. I am the mother of all peoples. I look at the hearts of nations, to gather the seeds of good and to make them blossom in the garden of my Immaculate Heart, that I may save them in greater numbers at the time of the decisive trial when some of these will disappear from the face of the earth. I look with tenderness and with joy at these children of mine, and I bring you into their midst to hold cenacles of prayer and to renew together the consecration to my Immaculate Heart. Your coming is a sign of my special presence at their side. Give to me all the crowns of fragrant flowers with which they encircle you. They are signs of the great crown of love which my children from every part of the world are now offering me to take from me the painful crown of thorns. With you are the guardian angels who lead you into the light, so that my garden may soon be filled with flowers. And then the church and the world will see the masterpiece of love which, for the present, I am jealously guarding in my Immaculate Heart. Message number 211. Do not sin anymore. Manila, Philippines, October 13, 1980. Anniversary of the last apparition at Fatima. Today you are gathering here in a cenacle of prayer and recalling my final apparition at the Cova Diara, which was confirmed by the miracle of the sun. From this land, dear to me for the love and devotion with which I am loved and venerated, I make again to the world the anguished appeal which I made on that same day at Fatima and which summarizes in a few words the message which I came from heaven to communicate to you. Do not sin any more. Do not offend any more, my son Jesus, who has already been too much offended. Return to God by your conversion along the way of prayer and of penance. Alas, this message of mine has remained unheeded, and thus humanity has continued to hasten along the road of rebellion against God in the obstinate rejection of his law of love. Thus it has come even to the denial of sin, to the justification of even the gravest moral disorders in the name of a falsely conceived liberty. Thus Satan, my adversary, has succeeded in making you fall into his seduction. Many have thus lost the awareness of sin, and so it is more and more committed and justified. The sense of guilt, which is the first step to take along the road of conversion, has practically disappeared. Even in those countries of the most ancient Christian tradition, the great crime of killing children still in their mother's womb has gone so far as to be legitimized. This crime cries for vengeance in the sight of God. This is the hour of justice and mercy. This is the hour of chastisement and salvation. The Heavenly Mother intercedes before God for you because never as in the present time have you been so menaced and so close to the supreme test. For this reason, I beg you to repent and to return to God. Through you, sons, especially chosen by me and consecrated to me, my apostles in these latter times, I want this anguished appeal to reach to the very limits of the earth. From this blessed nation, upon which I have a great design of love and of light, I gather you all into the refuge of my Immaculate Heart. Message number 212, The Marvels of Love and of Light. Sydney, Australia, October 19, 1980, Feast of St. Paul of the Cross. I have brought you even to this new continent to have you meet so many of my children, some of whom have come expressly for this from New Zealand and the most distant islands. You see how my movement has spread everywhere. Now this light enwraps every part of the world. There is no place to which the sweet invitation of your mother has not yet been brought. I have made use of you, the smallest and the poorest of my children, to make of you a messenger of peace, of mercy, and of salvation. My time has now come. The painful hours foretold by me have arrived. The great prodigy of the woman clothed with the sun, who has decided to hasten the time of her victorious intervention will be made manifest. And so you see that everywhere my triumph has already begun. My motherly heart triumphs in the hearts of those children who on every side answer me by saying yes. They are the littlest, the humble, the poor, the unknown. In the heart of my children who have accepted the invitation and have each day offered themselves to the love and the perfect glory of Jesus, the triumph of my immaculate heart is being prepared. Through them, the glorious reign of Christ will soon come in all the fullness of power, of light, and of victory. Message number 213, The Way of Unity. Melbourne, Australia, October 27, 1980. You see how my adversary has succeeded in extending his dominion here, inducing so many of my children to get along without God, seducing them with the venom of atheism and of neo-paganism. Never before, as in these present times and in these places, must the church which Jesus founded as a united body present itself in all the power of its unity, that the light of the gospel may reach out to all who are wandering. I am the way of unity. It is the mother's role to lead back to mutual love, to concord and esteem, and to full communion all those who by means of baptism have been incorporated into the very life of my Son Jesus. Some have wanted to put your heavenly mother aside, precisely in the deceptive prospect of making the reunification of Christians easier. This, on the contrary, has brought about a new and more serious obstacle. In fact, disunity has entered into the very interior of the Catholic Church. A true reunification of Christians is not possible unless it be in the perfection of truth. And truth has been kept intact only in the Catholic Church, which must preserve it, defend it, and proclaim it to all without fear. It is the light of the truth which will draw many of my children to return to the bosom of the one and only church founded by Jesus. A true reunification of Christians is not possible except in the perfection of love. And who better than your heavenly mother can help you to love, understand, and have compassion for each other, to know and esteem each other? For this reason, a true reunion of Christians is not possible without an effort towards interior conversion and purification in order to attain solely the fulfillment of the divine will. This is the divine will for you, that all may be one. And who better than I can help her children travel along this difficult road? I am for you the way of unity. When I am accepted by the whole church, then as mother, I will be able to reunite my children in the warmth of one single family. For this reason, the reunion of all Christians in the Catholic Church will coincide with the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. This reunited church, in the splendor of a new Pentecost, will have the power to renew all the people of the earth. The world will believe in Him whom the Father has sent, and will be completely renewed in His spirit of love. Message number 214, Mother of the Poorest. Calcutta, India, November 3rd, 1980, Feast of St. Martin de Porres. I have wanted you to come also to this great country, to hold cynicals, to gather together in ever greater numbers my chosen ones, all these children of mine in the refuge of my Immaculate Heart. Most of them, however, are still living in ignorance of the gospel which my Son Jesus has taught you with the command given to the apostles and passed on to you to go and proclaim the good news to all the people of the earth. How many of these are still in the darkness of paganism or belong to other religions and therefore are in need of being led to the fullness of the truth, which is present only in the Catholic Church, founded by Jesus, to bring the gospel of salvation to all nations. In no other place as this have you seen, however, how many of my children live in conditions of extreme misery and immense poverty? How many of them have neither home, nor work, nor food, nor clothing, and dressed in scanty rags, spend their lives on the sidewalks along the roads, where they suffer and die in the midst of general apathy and indifference? Your coming is a special sign for them of my presence at their side and of my painful motherly anxiety. I am the mother of those who are ignored and abandoned by all. Today I take all their suffering into the immense sorrow of my heart. I pour balm upon their wounds, and I greatly value all the sufferings of these poor children of mine, the suffering of those who do not yet know Jesus and walk in darkness, the suffering of those who are cast aside and experience no help from anyone, the suffering of those who possess nothing, the suffering of those who live and die on the sidewalks, along the roads, without anyone stopping to bring them help. I am the mother of the poorest of the poor, of the most miserable, and my immaculate heart wants to bring them the help that they need, help to reach Jesus and to accept his gospel of salvation, brought by so many of my missionary sons and daughters, who for this purpose are expending their whole lives here, and I am helping them to live with the dignity of sons of God by a more becoming and human existence. I am now making myself the voice of these poor children of mine who have no voice to repeat to all. Think of these brothers of yours, of those who even today are dying of hunger and need. Think of these brothers of yours, of those who even today are dying of hunger and need. Give to these little ones of mine that which you have in abundance. Do not busy yourself with gathering riches, when those goods which your Creator has put at the disposition of all should be distributed among all. I am the mother of all, but especially of those who are poorest. I gather up their suffering, and I bless it, and I join it to the prayer of those who plead for the coming of the reign of Jesus, through the triumph of my Immaculate Heart. It will be a reign of truth and grace, of love and justice, and my poor children will have the best place in it. Message number 215, The Power of the Gospel, India, November 14, 1980. What you have lived through here, my little son, is for you a sign that this is my hour and that the heavenly leader has now gathered together her cohort from every part of the world. Each day, in different dioceses, you have met in cynicals with hundreds of my beloved sons and with tens of thousands of religious and faithful, making in the cathedrals your consecration to my Immaculate Heart. Through you who have responded, my light spreads evermore in the church, and thus the church takes on vigor, confidence, and a new impetus in the evangelization and salvation of all nations. Look at this immense nation and the huge number of my children who still do not know Jesus and who walk in darkness, in the expectation that for these also the light of truth and grace may shine forth. This is the time when the gospel of salvation must be announced to all the peoples of the earth, and the gospel must be preached to every creature, just as Jesus preached it to you, as the Holy Spirit gave it to the church. The gospel must be kept today to the letter. The gospel must be lived today to the letter. The gospel must be preached today to the letter. The attempt, undertaken by many, to explain the gospel in a purely human manner, to ignore its historical and supernatural content, to reduce to natural interpretation that which is contained in it of a divine or miraculous nature, has brought about the weakening of its message and the enfeebling of the efficacy of its proclamation. The power of evangelization is in its fidelity and its authenticity. It is not in the adapting of the message of Christ to the various cultures, but in the bringing of all cultures to Christ that the duty of evangelization entrusted to you is carried out. How many of these children of mine would already belong to Christ if today the power and the impact of evangelization were not weakened? I am for you mother and teacher. Just as I accepted, guarded, and lived the Word of God, so also today I cause it to be accepted, guarded, and lived by all of you, my little ones. The divine word must therefore be lived and proclaimed by you to the letter. And so I want to communicate to all of you an enthusiasm for the gospel. Illumined by its light, announce it to all the peoples of the earth. I am mother and teacher of all peoples, and the triumph of my immaculate heart cannot come in all its fullness until I have brought them all to my Son Jesus. Live in my immaculate heart, and give Jesus to all the peoples of the earth. Soon the deepest desire of my Son will be fulfilled, and from every part of the five continents under my guidance, all will hasten to enter into and become part of the one flock under the one shepherd. For now I look with motherly tenderness on these children of mine, still far away, and through you I now bless them all and enfold them in my immaculate heart. Message number 216, Great Mercy. December 8, 1980, Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. Beloved sons, I gather you all today under my immaculate mantle. It is the shield with which I cover you to shelter you from every attack in the great battle to which I call you. You must gird yourselves once again with this powerful shield, which I give you for your defense and your salvation. How numerous today are the snares of my adversary, who appears to be reaching the peak of his great offensive. In every way, and by the most subtle means, he seeks to seduce you. If only he can succeed in striking your soul, in wounding you with sin, so as to draw you away from Jesus, who is your only Savior. The whole of humanity is defiled with this invisible venom, and now needs to be healed by the merciful love of Jesus. He will manifest himself to you in an extraordinary manner through the intervention of your Immaculate Mother. The weapon which I give you to fight with is the chain which joins you to my heart, the Holy Rosary. Beloved sons, recite it often, because it is only with your priestly prayer gathered into my immaculate heart that I will be able in these times to move, to force, so to speak, the great mercy of the Lord to manifest itself. At the hour when all will seem lost, all will be saved through the merciful love of the Father, which will be made visible through the great manifestation of the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. The standard under which I rally you is that of Jesus crucified, which must be displayed by you because even for your perverse generation, there is no other salvation but in the cross of Jesus. With the rosary in one hand and the standard of the crucified in the other, fight as of now the decisive phase of the battle. This maternal intervention of mine is also being powerfully implored through the confident prayer of the first of my beloved sons, the Pope, who has called upon the mercy of God on your behalf. This powerful cry of his has penetrated heaven and has moved my motherly heart to hasten the time of victory. For this I now gather you into my cohort, and I give you the shield, the weapon, and the standard for the battle. I strengthen you all, and I bless you. Message number 217, About the Crib. December 24th, 1980, The Holy Night. Beloved children, this is the holy night. Spend it with me in prayer, in silence, in recollection, in waiting. The day which I have spent with the precious help of my spouse in covering the final stage of an exhausting journey has now gone by. This has been the longest day of my life. But in the evening, as we enter the city which should receive us, every door is closed. At every request of ours, a new refusal is ready for us. And so the cold which has so benumbed my members begins to enter my soul and, like a painful sword, wounds me in the very depths of my life. I must give you the expected of the nations, at the very moment when no one receives him. Love is about to be born, and the chill of egoism shuts the hearts of all. Only the compassion of one poor soul points out a nearby cave. In the darkness and the cold, near a manger on which a little straw has been placed, the divine prodigy takes place. The stars, the song of the angels, the light which pours down from heaven, but about the crib there is only the warmth of two human hearts which love the heart of my most chaste spouse and my virginal motherly heart. But for the child who is born, the warmth of this love is enough. Beloved children, on this holy night, I want you all with me about the crib of my divine child. Once again, the doors of the houses are closed. The nations are in rebellion against the Lord who comes and plot to fight against his royal dominion. The greatest cold envelops the hearts of men. It is so cold in the world today. This is the coldness of hatred, of violence, of unbridled egoism. It is the coldness of the lack of love which kills. But on this holy night, about the crib with my heart and that of my spouse Joseph, I want all your little hearts also. Together let us love, let us pray, let us make amends. Let us warm up by our love the baby Jesus, who once again is born for you. Your hearts which love are for him his only comfort, his great comfort. Through you, formed in the immaculate heart of the mother, this little babe wants to open the whole world to love. Message number 218, The Greatest Cry. December 31st, 1980, last night of the year. Beloved children, spend the last hours which close this year with me in prayer. Your time is measured by the beating of my immaculate heart, which is shaping its plan of love and salvation. Each day, each hour is scanned and arranged according to this motherly plan of mine. The moments you are living through are moments of emergency. This is why I have called you all to a more intense prayer and to live with the greatest trust in the merciful love of your Heavenly Father. The golden door of his divine heart is about to open, and Jesus is about to pour forth upon the world the torrents of his mercy. These are floods of fire and of grace, which will transform and renew the whole world. On the waves of sufferings never before known to this day, and of prodigies never before accomplished, you will reach the safe haven of a new heaven and a new earth. An era of grace, of love, and of peace is about to be born from the painful days in which you are living. And so I invite you to end this year on your knees, uniting yourselves spiritually with the Pope, the first of my beloved sons, who is now suffering and praying so much to implore the mercy of God upon the world. May your prayer be a powerful force of intercession and of reparation. Let it be the greatest cry which has ever been heard, strong enough to pierce heaven and to constrain the heart of Jesus to pour out the fullness of his merciful love. For this, watch and pray with me. My hour and yours has now come. It is the hour of justice and of mercy.